Good morning. It is 10:03 a.m., Wednesday, April 25th, 2018. I call this regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. With me are Commissioners Brian Krosius and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments this morning. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Krosius. Do you have any opening comments?
Just one more reminder, the same as 2 weeks ago, that it is construction or excavation season now that the frost is finally starting to come out of the ground, and continue to promote the call before you dig message. So just for those listening, remember, whether you're a homeowner, planting a tree, putting in a mailbox post, or excavating for commercial purposes, or even maybe tiling a field for agricultural purposes, make sure that you call before proceeding and be safe out there.
Thank you. And one thing that I should probably have mentioned and neglected, I just came back from our quarterly Southwest Power Pool RSC meeting, and I took over as our person on the RSC last spring, and then we immediately had a legislative conflict with the April meeting, and so my first meeting was actually the July of last year meeting, and it was a old work in progress at the time already, a major expansion of the Southwest Power Pool with a merger with what is called the Mountain West area, but it's kind of an informal group of a lot of companies. And this very complex situation and has gone on for all this time. And actually, it seemed to me that pretty much everything had come into place and that the board had pretty much approved everything. And it was pretty well set to go, except for, you know, a final look at the paperwork. And the largest company in the Mountain West group pulled out of the agreement on Friday, and so that whole big SPP expansion is questionable at best right now. And so, quite a stunning development there.
How do you feel about it?
A little bit shocked that they would have done that at the last minute like that, and without much of an explanation. Now, there were continuing SPP meetings on Tuesday that I was not able to stay for. That's outside of the RSC's direct role. So maybe more reasoning was given, but the reasons that were laid out over the weekend seemed, you know, just kind of real generalities. And I would think with all that many people have put into this, at least a better explanation would be in order.
Right. It's costly evaluating.
Oh, there's been huge amount of expense in both dollars and hours of people's time. I've spent a lot of time on
trying
it.
Trying to understand it.
And so it's quite a stunning about face with that. So, and I know that SPP people feel that it's important to grow the size of that RTO. And that this was a good fit. I had some questions along the way of how good the fit was. I get that growth is often good, but I don't think that growth just for the sake of growth is good. So I wanted to make sure it was a proper fit. And I've always had some skepticism, but was supportive of the project. I thought that the pros outweighed the cons on it. And so now we kind of start fresh and see if the remaining companies, if there is still a case to be made for a merger, or if without that one large one, if it just doesn't make sense anymore. Commissioner Fedorchak.
I just wanted to briefly comment about an item that is on the consent agenda, and that is the Basin Electric tree and shrub mitigation plan, an updated tree and shrub mitigation plan. And this is for their large 345 kV project that covered multiple states. And I just highlight it because I think it gives an example of the benefit that these tree and shrub plans can have for the state and for our environment, and to give credit to the companies for the investment that they're making to restore and return the environment back to its original state after they're developing these energy infrastructure projects. Basin removed about 17,500 trees and shrubs during their construction process on that project, and we have a 2-to-1 replacement requirement, and so that required almost 35,000 replacement trees to be planted, trees and shrubs. And so they've worked with the landowners. That's the goal, to put them back with where the landowners are, but not all landowners want them, and you can't put them within the right-of-way because that's the reason they were taken out to begin with, not just for construction, but to provide clearance for the transmission lines. So Basin did some creative work, and they have an estimated 11,000 trees and shrubs planted for the landowners, and then they had about 23,500 additional trees that they needed to replace, trees and shrubs, and they worked with four different soil conservation service districts to find locations within various parts of the state to plant the trees and shrubs. And so as a result, Williams County and the city of Tioga are getting about 850 trees and shrubs that they're planting in cooperation with the local Pheasants Forever chapter, so providing good habitat for our wildlife in our state. 1,000 trees and shrubs to the Mercer County Soil Conservation Service and North Dakota Game and Fish for Beulah Mine Project. 3,700 trees and shrubs with Mercer County and the Game and Fish for the Harmony Lake Project. And nearly 12,000 trees and shrubs through the Stark County Soil Conservation Service and the North Dakota DOT at 7 locations near Dickinson. So those trees and shrubs are being used for the purpose of helping to block snow off roads and make the transportation system safer. So there's a lot of great outcomes that can be achieved. It is a substantial commitment by the companies, but I think it's all goes to the end of proper reclamation and restoration and making sure that after these energy projects, we're returning our state in many places back to better a situation than it was prior to the construction project. So kudos to Basin, and I will be supporting this on the consent agenda today.
So with all that being said, it's on the consent calendar because we didn't, now that we're talking about the case.
You can't talk about a case on the consent calendar?
Well, that's kind of the point of it being on the consent calendar.
Yeah,
but I was actually going to violate the consent calendar point two, because I had a comment on this specific case. And so I thought it was small enough that it could fit in, even though it was on the consent calendar. But now you brought it up, I'll point it out now. You mentioned those four projects, one being the Beulah Mine project. Technically, the Beulah Mine we consider the Westmoreland Mine south of Beulah, and I want to emphasize that this is not the Westmoreland Mine. I had staff double-check and look at the land description. This is the old abandoned mine near Beulah where these are going to go. So this does not have any impact on a mine permit, which would be an issue. So I like the whole deal. I just wanted to point that out. This is not the active Beulah Mine. Okay. Excellent. Now we'd be ready to move to the... Did you have something to add to the consent calendar?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. I do not. I consent.
Okay.
To not consenting.
So then we have 14 items on the consent calendar, plus the minutes of previous meetings, and I move passage and adoption.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-134, canceling facility-based grain buyer license numbers 2140, 2049 and 2062, respectively, issued to CHS Incorporated at the Fairdale, Cloten, and Park River, North Dakota locations, and ordering the business at Fairdale, Cloten, and Park River, North Dakota is discontinued.
Second.
The facilities in Fairdale and Park River, North Dakota, have been closed completely. The facility in Cloten was sold to a private individual for personal use only. The facilities are empty, and there are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends that the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will point out Fairdale is not Fairmount. That probably is a larger and at least equally known community down in the southeast corner of the state. Fairdale is up in the, I believe in Walsh County, up in that northeast corner. And Park River, just an interesting little anecdote on Park River. John D. Rockefeller's father lived in Park River for a time.
Hmm.
He had sort of left the family and was very disassociated from the family, and had actually taken on an alias and was kind of a snake oil salesman as such, and was in Park River for a time.
Someday I'm going to find your source book for all this trivia.
Who doesn't know that one?
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in Alliance Valley Bean, LLC, case number 1330, Fairdale, North Dakota. Discontinue business, case number GE-18-137.
Second.
This business is no longer conducted at this facility again. The warehouse is empty. There are no unpaid scale tickets, outstanding storage obligations, or open contracts. Alliance Valley Bean continues to operate facilities at Larimore and Sharon, North Dakota, with a combined capacity of 537,000 bushels. Staff recommends the request be approved. And I'll just point out, since we're on Fairdale again here, the situation really is this. The CHS owned that facility, leased some space to Alliance Valley Grain. Now CHS is closing that facility down, and thus Alliance Valley Bean is pulling out of that lease, and the place will be closed down. And so Alliance will just continue to operate their facilities at Sharon and Larimore.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in BTR Farmers Co-op, license number 1324, Martin, North Dakota. Discontinue business, case number GE-18-138.
Second.
Business is no longer conducted at this facility again. The warehouse is empty. There are no unpaid scale tickets, outstanding storage obligations, or open contracts. BTR Farmers Co-op continues to operate facilities at Drake, Leeds, Maddock, and Niles, North Dakota, with a combined capacity of 4,805,000 bushels. Staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will point out on one of these, on Drake, many in the room are too young to remember, but some of us can remember in 1973 when the school board there banned, what was it, Slaughterhouse 5 and Deliverance from sophomores' reading curriculum. They had brought in a new English teacher from California who brought in new novels for the kids, and they actually kind of later acknowledged one of their big mistakes was they didn't just pull them off the shelves and store them. They burned them in their incinerator. Ooh. And it became a big national case. And the settlement ultimately was that they restored those books as proper for juniors and seniors, so they got it delayed a year. But there's actually an article in the Bismarck Tribune, and I'm sure you remember it, Brian, in 2013 about the 40 years later situation. And it still has some divisiveness in the community.
Well, I would agree. I am too young to remember that event, so I'm glad you educated me. Thank you.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Crashes.
All right, thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, tax reform effects, rates, case number PU-18-89.
Second.
On March 9th, 2018, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed revised electric retail rates in response to the 2017 Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and the Commission's January 10th, 2018 order initiating investigation into the rate impact and accounting treatment of the TCJA in case number PU-17-490. Montana Dakota's updated electric revenue requirement reflects a decrease of 3.87% from Montana Dakota's authorized revenue requirement in June 2017, and that was case number PU-16-666. The rate reduction in terms of what an average residential electric customer using 980 kilowatt hours per month would be is $3.65 per month. The issue to be considered in this matter is whether the proposed rates are just and reasonable. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by June 8, 2018. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, the contact number for the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400. And just a little bit of background on this again. This was a part of the investigation that we initiated on January 10th. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act became law in December 22nd, 2017. And after the January 10th, after we initiated the investigation, we had a due date of February 15th for companies to respond back, which they all did. Four companies, as a part of that, just on a side note, with six different components, MDU has gas and electric, Otter Tail has electric, NSP would be gas and electric, and then Great Plains Natural Gas Company would be gas. So four companies, six different rate reviews. And there are, MDU did file again their response, and just as a refresher, the rate case 16-666, that actually increased base rates last year by $4.50 a month. So now the proposal is to reduce that rate by $3.65. So it comes very close to offsetting that base rate increase in the last rate case. So the moving parts are or areas that we'll be reviewing and looking at. One, we know the top rate went from 35% down to 21%. So 14% reduction in the top rate. The other part is crunching the numbers on the deferred tax portion, that part of the equation. And MDU has provided some response that may end up being somewhat of a wash, but we'll have to see if we're in agreement as we go through the case and look at the numbers. So it's another good example of the indirect impact of tax reform. And I talked about this a little bit. I was able to go and speak to a group yesterday. And they had a lot of questions about things happening in the western part of the state, expansion, but this really, it was a business, the business community, if you will, and I couldn't give a lot of information because these cases are underway, but a lot of interest in terms of what is the impact not only for consumers but for businesses as well. And it's a fair question, but you just continue to see a positive ripple effect from the Tax Cut and Jobs Act.
Just one point of clarification. I think it's important for the media to describe the reduction, although it went down 14 percentage points, it's almost a 40% reduction in the tax, in the actual tax. So it's often just stated as a 14% reduction, and it isn't. It's more than a 40% reduction if you look at the actual difference as a percentage of the total. So, mm-hmm. And this is like Brian said, this is real money getting back to every citizen who pays utility rates in this state, which is nearly everybody at their home, and then in countless ways through the products that they buy. So it has a significant impact throughout the economy, and it'll be measurable and noticeable, I think, for many.
Yeah, and to dovetail on that comment, just one more number. The annual revenue decrease that MDU is pitching is $7.2 million on that's annually, $7.2 million or a 3.87% decrease from the base rates. That is a big chunk, and that's just one company, one entity. Mm-hmm. In the state, when you look at all the companies operating, I don't know what the final tally is, but it's substantial.
And the final numbers will be calculated in a way that reflects this all the way back to January 1st. So the fact that this takes a while to calculate does not mean that the company is benefiting from about dollars that were meant for paying their taxes that they don't have to pay now, but everything that is saved from this for the company back to January 1st will be coming back to the consumers.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company fuel clause adjustment waiver approval, case number PU-18-118.
Second.
On April 11th, 2018, Northern States Power Company requested approval to issue to customers through a one-time credit to the fuel clause adjustment $128,000 of an overall North Dakota jurisdictional gain of $218,000 from an asset sale between NSP and Flint Hill Resources Pine Bend LLC. NSP proposes to retain the remaining $90,000, the $218,000 less the $118,000, to offset the foregone returns on the sold assets. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the proposed credit is just and reasonable, and secondly, whether it is appropriate to grant a waiver of the Commission's rules under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-09-02-39, automatic adjustment clauses for the stated purpose. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by June 8th, 2018. And again, the number at the Public Service Commission, if anyone would like more information, is 701-328-2400. And just a little bit of backdrop. This is related to the sale of three storage tanks and associated land. The storage tanks were for carrying or holding fuel oil. There was some remaining inventory that was also a part of the $218,000. And in lieu of this, the company is entering into a fuel supply agreement instead of having their own stored fuel on site. And just in terms of the remaining life or going back to that $90,000, the foregone returns on the sold assets, those assets have an approved life that extends to 2026. So the $90,000 would have been the company's return on those assets through 2026, as I read it.
Do we have a motion, a second? Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that is it for me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, for announcements, and there are not a lot. On Monday, May 14th at 10 a.m., we have a formal hearing with Ann Dever, case number PU-18-72. That's an NGL pipeline that would extend from McKenzie through Billings down into Stark counties, and that will be at the Grassy Butte Community Hall, again at 10 a.m., Monday, May 14th. And then the following day, on May 15th, on a Tuesday, I want to emphasize, is our next regular commission meeting. That this is a little bit longer stretch than normal, almost 3 weeks instead of two. There were some major interferences to stay with our regular schedule, so we'll probably have a busier agenda that day. And again, it's on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday, May 15th. Normal place, normal time, 10 a.m. That concludes the announcements that I had. With that, we will stand in recess, take some questions from the press, and then after those, we'll reconvene in about 5 minutes later for the administrative portion of our meeting.
Just a couple of things. On BK2, how much would be a credit, a bill credit?
It would be a one-time bill credit. They're proposing $128,000. The sale is generating $218,000. That would be the North Dakota portion.
Any idea how much of that would be for each individual customer?
I think it's just a little over a dollar per customer, if I remember correctly. So it's not a large amount overall, but I think it also underscores that when assets are sold, that customers have been responsible for paying for that return on equity portion that comes back to them.
And on BK1, the rate you're talking about, would that be just, is that gas or electric?
That is for the electric portion of it. So we're still in the process. We'll also be reviewing or are reviewing MDU gas rates as well as the others that I had mentioned.
And they have a gas or an electric rate case pending? Just
a gas rate is pending. Mm-hmm.
Now, the way you said it, instead of it would go down 3.87% from their base rates that were approved?
That's the overall revenue decrease of 3.87% when you look at the overall total, which is 179, I think. 179,610,000.
But it would go...
Or no, 179 million, I should say, 610,000 and change.
Actually, though, the way it looks like the if this would play out the way it goes, customers would actually be paying a dollar more than the original base rate.
Well, approximately. If you go back to prior to 16-666, yeah. If this played out, it would be the $4.50 less the $3.65, so there would still be an 85-cent difference in terms of a net increase over the course of time, but. That's if we're in agreement on the 365, and that's something advocacy and the consultant is looking at.
Your math is better than mine. Mm-hmm. I admit it. Your math is better than mine.
I just took a wild guess.
And if that were the case, that 85-cent increase then would have been over a pretty long time. I can't remember on that 666 case. But there had been a fair amount of time since their previous rate case. So
was it 2010, Pat? The previous? But, yeah, it was, you're right, substantial.
Well, with a case 666, the devil's in the details. And I couldn't help thinking that you kept talking about the RTO, and I've got Ronnie and the Daytonas going through my mind. Little RTO, little GTO. Very sick person. Is Fairdale left with
that? I would say the GTOs were more fun than RTOs.
Is Fairdale left without an elevator then?
I'm not sure if there's another one there or not. But there are certainly multiple facilities within, you know, not a great distance.
Okay.
There's a lot of movement, it seems like, in the specialty crop, pulse crop side of the equation in terms of, I wouldn't call them mini cooperatives because they're substantial, but it seems to originate in some cases at the producer level, and they're coming together and saying, hey, we have a common need to move product, and we want to diversify our crop portfolio in a particular area, especially as wheat prices have softened. Soybeans look okay this year, but who knows on corn. And they're looking, and I can say this from personal experience, looking for new avenues to grow different types of crops on your land, but just on a standalone basis. So I don't know if that had an impact, if the facility was just aging, and it was time to go to a newer facility that had gave better access. I guess I don't know the particulars on it.
Yeah. One thing about CHS, and they have a lot of locations in the state, and sometimes it's a matter of, you know, you put something new in with all the best loadout options and everything, and you just don't need all your smaller regional ones that were there before, and so they make business decisions. And
sure.
Okay, we will reconvene at 10:41.